American military policy forces U.S. servicewomen to follow an Islamic dress code in Saudi Arabia. Lieutenant Colonel Martha McSally, the highest-ranking female fighter pilot in the Air Force, is suing to change that rule, NPR's Emily Harris reports.
Except during a brief reprieve by a sympathetic commander, Lieutenant Colonel Martha McSally had to wear a headscarf and an abaya, a long dark dress that covered her from neck to toe anytime she stepped off base in Saudi Arabia. McSally says that rule goes against her constitutionally protected religious convictions.
My faith is a centerpiece of who I am, and I'm a follower of Christ, and it is a traditional Muslim outfit, and I'm not a Muslim. And so to me, to force the clothing of another religion onto people who do not practice that religion causes them to have to deny their own faith.
But she also says her fight is about much more than individual rights. Roughly 1,000 American servicewomen are in Saudi Arabia. All must wear abayas and headscarves off base. Lieutenant Colonel McSally says the policy undermines unit cohesion.
I'm on the base, I'm directing and commanding, and as we step off the base, I have to hand the car keys to my subordinate men, sit in the back seat, and put on this traditional Muslim outfit that communicates I am inferior and subservient to them, and it's demeaning and humiliating, and it affects my authority as a military officer.
At a recent event to honor women in military aviation, the buzz was all about McSally's lawsuit. She wasn't a scheduled speaker, but everyone attending seemed to have heard of her. During tea, a steady stream of women came up to offer their support. Former Air Force Colonel Kelly Hamilton was one. She thought the issue had long been resolved.
We were in Desert Storm back in the early 90s. The issue of wearing abayas, or basically covering, was brought up. They basically at that time left it, you know, open to the individual to determine if they were more comfortable wearing it, fine, but there was not a requirement to wear it, and there was not a requirement to cover.
That approach had changed by the time McSally was sent to Saudi Arabia in late 2000. She had first learned of the military's policy in 95 while on duty in Kuwait. There, the rule does not apply. McSally brought up her concerns routinely with her superiors, all the way to former Defense Secretary William Perry. She pointed out the State Department has no similar requirement. So far, the only change is that the military policy is now under review. Pentagon spokesperson Tori Clark says Saudi law doesn't require U.S. military women to wear the abaya while off base, but the commander of the region thinks it's appropriate.
There are several considerations. Host nation sensitivities, very conservative society, and so conservative dress is appropriate. Force protection issues, wanted to make sure that members of the U.S. military don't stand out more than they might otherwise.
McSally believes more Western but still conservative dress could also appease any Saudi concerns. She is back from her year in Saudi Arabia now, heading to duty in Arizona. But even as the lieutenant colonel tries to focus on upcoming work, she's changed the stakes of this policy review by filing a lawsuit. Elaine Donnelly of the Center for Military Readiness says McSally's complaint may have merit, but suing was the wrong way to solve it.
If she should win this lawsuit, we would have a precedent of a federal court telling the military what is appropriate for soldiers and sailors and airmen and Marines to wear. I don't think that is the proper role for the courts.
McSally says there are precedents. Women sued to stay in the service after they were married and sued later to keep serving after becoming pregnant. She says she'd rather see the issue decided out of court and suggests it might be easiest if her commander-in-chief, President Bush, frees her colleagues from a dress code she finds as unwelcome as some Afghan women found the burqa. Emily Harris, NPR News, Washington.